This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. In the era of legalized racial segregation and unlikely collaboration changed the state of public education for African Americans in the rural South. Booker T. Washington, who's an educator and political leader in the black community, met philanthropist Julius Rosenwald, who made his fortune as president and part owner of Sears Roebuck & Company. The two became partners. They created a formalized school system for black students in the South. They coordinated the construction of more than 5,000 schoolhouses that offered African-American children a progressive educational curriculum in a structured environment. The buildings were nicknamed Rosenwald Schools, and North Carolina was home to more than 800 of them. Some are still standing. And for the dozen or so Rosenwald schools that were built in Hertford County, there is an effort to preserve the history that was created there. Caroline Stevenson is a filmmaker, and she is currently working on a documentary about Hertford County's Rosenwald schools. This weekend, she's co-organizing a reunion of Rosenwald School alumni, and she's with us today on the program. Welcome. Good to have you here.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Let's go back a little, get kind of the big picture. Tell us more of the history of the shared vision between Booker T. Washington and Julius Rosenwald about these schools. How did they get started? What was the intention?
The intention was to bring progressive education to African Americans in the South. Before Rosenwald schools, there was very little formalized education for African Americans during the height of Jim Crow, basically. School for African Americans attended school in churches, log cabins, abandoned white schools, corn cribs, just any willy-nilly structure, basically. And there were no really qualified teachers either. It was not very formalized.
So the first thing we see are these schools, 5,300 of them across the South, 800 or so, a few more in North Carolina. So the buildings themselves are important. There's a place, and they're pretty good buildings. Were they all the same plan, essentially?
There were different types of schools. There was the one teacher type or the one room type. There were two room schools, three room schools. It depended on the size of the community that they served.
And where did the money come from?
Well, it was a partnership, basically. It was a matching grant. So the Rosenwald Fund didn't outright give communities money to build the schools. The communities had to come up with money themselves too. And in a lot of these areas, that was a challenge because many of the people that many of the children's parents were sharecroppers or domestics and had very little resources to contribute. But they did it, and that's part of the incredible story.
So how many were built in Hertford County?
In Hertford County, we had 10 that were built between the years of 1920 and 1927.
Now, how many are left?
We have 4 standing still. Three are essentially savable or usable, and one is the structure is there, but it's not in great shape.
Are any of the 3 in use?
Yes, one is a cultural arts center. That would be the C.S. Brown Cultural Arts Center in Winton, and there's also the Pleasant Plains Community Building, which is right across from the Pleasant Plains Church, and there's the Millneck School, which is in the Como community of Hertford County, and that we're in the process of writing the National Register nomination and therefore being able to seek grants to restore it.
How did you get interested in this?
Wow. My father's a historian, a local historian in the area. And
Lucky for us because Frank Stevenson's been on the show to talk about the history of the area.
He's a great guy, great dad. Anyway, as a child, we would be driving, down country roads, and he would say, "Oh, that's a Rosenwald school," and I didn't think anything of it. But as I, became an adult and became more aware of what they were, I knew how special they were and how special it was that we had them in Hertford County.
You have been collecting first-person narratives and putting together a documentary. And I want to listen to a part of one now that illustrates why it was such a challenge both to fund and to attend Rosenwald schools in these areas.
Most of our families farmed. And so during that year when it was farm time, we had to stay home and work on the farm. But our parents required us still to study and pass that grade.
So is that pretty typical of the experience that you've encountered?
absolutely, many alumni, Rosenwald alumni that I've spoken to have talked about having to miss school to go chop in the fields, to pick peanuts, to pick cotton. And it's heartbreaking to think about children having to miss out on their education. But it was very normal.
Yeah,
at that time.
And I think what comes through is the kinds of sacrifice and the sort of decisions and compromises that people had to make, both in terms of being able to fund the school and then just to be able to put in the time to send their kids away. They were helping with the chores, and that was the day-to-day, hand-to-mouth reality of life. And yet everybody understood the importance of education.
Absolutely. You know, many parents were torn, in keeping their children home. And in the interviews, that's really portrayed in the stories.
You have a great story about a guy who I'm going to ask you to tell it for us, because the fire took the house, and he was never so happy in his life to see that house burn down.
Yes, sir. That was Mr. Banks at the Milneck Church and Milneck School in Como. He talks about how on Easter Sunday in 1951, they came home from church and the house was burning down. And he was so excited and so happy because that meant that now they would have food. Basically, his mother gave his father an ultimatum. You're not going to farm anymore. You're going to go get a job 5 days a week so we can eat. And he explains they ate 2 days a week on Saturday and Sunday, and that's appalling.
And with his father having a job and the farm being not part of the picture anymore, that meant the kids could go to school, and they did.
Absolutely.
So now you're collecting these narratives, these stories. Are people surprised that anybody's interested in their elementary education?
Absolutely. I think people are surprised, but also, they're happy. You know, everybody has a story, no matter if you live, in the White House or if you live in rural northeastern North Carolina, and these stories are incredible. And I think they're really glad that somebody's paying attention to their voice.
Is the history of education, particularly in Black communities in northeast North Carolina, is it well preserved? Is it hard to find?
It's very hard to find. We're lucky in that we do have the C.S. Brown Cultural Arts Center, which is based at the old C.S. Brown School, which was the first high school for people of color in the state of North Carolina. So that has a heritage and a legacy that we're very proud of. But just having a way to collect all the stories and the information and the artifacts, that is the challenge, getting a hold of people.
Do you know much about efforts to save Rosenwald schools in other parts? Well, let's start in other parts of the state of North Carolina.
Absolutely. The Division of Archives and History here in Raleigh, they have done numerous surveys over the years in all 100 counties or the counties where schools were. And they have done a good job of documenting where they are. I also know that in Wilmington there's been an effort to preserve Rosenwald schools in that area, and also in Hamilton, North Carolina. So it is a movement, yes.
Apart from the personal satisfaction of being able to tell your story and have your own presence on this planet validated because somebody's listening, apart from that, what's the importance of preserving the legacy and the story of the schools themselves?
Well, it's American. It's about freedom. It's about citizenship. It's about power, and knowledge is power. And that's so very important for all of us, no matter if you're African American or whatever, no matter what your background, how old you are, that's important. And I want my children to know these stories. I want, present Hereford County High School students to know about this. And they're actually helping us in the filming tomorrow at Rosenwald Day. And it's just something we all need to be proud of, but also not take for granted. That's very important.
You said that high school students are now participating in this kind of gathering process. Did they know much about the history of Rosenwald schools?
Not at all. I came in and talked to them and showed them essentially a preview of the movie that they will be helping me make. And a lot of them were surprised seeing images of children younger than themselves picking cotton, children wearing like rags, children living in shacks. They were really surprised.
So one of the interesting things about the schools is that they were planted right smack dab in the middle of the community. community they served. And you tell a story about your aunt, I think, or is it your father, who was a little envious of their proximity to the school?
Oh, yeah. My aunt was jealous because she noticed that the African-American children in the community could essentially walk to their Rosenwald school down the road a bit. And she, being Caucasian, had to catch a bus and take it into town to go to school. So they were great community schools. They really were.
So what happens now to the you've got a film that you're putting together, right?
Yes. So we're filming tomorrow at Rosenwald Day in Winton. And some of the footage, in addition to more interviews and footage, it will be put together into this documentary film, and we will show it at the Rosenwald Conference at Tuskegee Institute, celebrating the 100th anniversary of the project.
Oh, and that's a national conference.
Yes.
Wonderful. Caroline, so good to talk with you. Thanks so much for being on the program.
Thank you.
Caroline Stevenson, filmmaker in Winton, North Carolina. Tomorrow there will be a Hertford County Rosenwald School Reunion Day, including a tour of schools in that community. Rosenwald School alumni are encouraged to come out, share your stories, bring your artifacts 11 to 2. For more information, visit rosenwaldproject.weebly.com. Just ahead on the state of things, talk about what's on the plate of best-selling chef and author Coleman Andrews on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.